please, yeah, kick off the mic. Has or has not?
Has improved.
Mm-hmm.
I do not say that spiritual practice is for solving big problems, but sometimes I'm tempted to think on these lines. So I would like you to give us your view about this question.
I don't think it should be a surprise that spiritual practice helps to solve everyday problems. I mean, to me, that's one of the benefits of the development of wisdom, is that we are learning to see what it is that we contribute to the problematic nature of life. And then when we see how we are making things worse, then we can change our attitude or change our behavior or connect with others, relate to others in ways that that help the, to not create those same kind of problems.
E non dovrebbe sorprendere che la pratica spirituale aiuti a risolvere o migliorare i problemi quotidiani. Difatti, uno degli scopi della coltivazione della saggezza è che con la saggezza noi siamo in grado di notare qual è il nostro contributo alle difficoltà che abbiamo nella vita, e quindi possiamo in questo modo modificare il nostro comportamento, il nostro atteggiamento, il modo di pensare, in modo da causare meno problemi a noi e agli altri.
So, say for example, if we're having a long-term conflict with our boss, you know, so you say 3 years you've been fighting with your boss. When we are practicing meditation and looking at our own mind, then what we can recognize is that, oh, I spend a lot of time blaming this person for not being the way that I want.
Mettiamo il caso, come è stato fatto, di un conflitto che dura da molti anni col proprio datore di lavoro, e con la pratica meditativa, quindi la contemplazione della propria mente, aiuta a scoprire che, ad esempio, ecco, passo molto tempo a incolpare, a biasimare nella mia mente questa persona per non essere come piace a me, come vorrei io.
So, if we're not developing wisdom, if we're not looking at our own mind, then we just believe in those criticisms. You know, he shouldn't be like that, and he shouldn't do this, and he did that wrong, and that was badly done, and he's worthy of blame, and he shouldn't do that. We believe in those kind of voices in our mind, and then the best we can do is try to we believe our own opinions, and the best we can do is to try and force the other person to be more like the way that we want them, so we create more suffering.
E se non coltiviamo la saggezza, non ci finiamo per credere alle voci che sentiamo nella nostra mente e alle critiche che rivolgiamo all'altra persona dicendo non dovrebbe essere così, non dovrebbe fare questo, ha fatto quella cosa male. E quindi in questo clima in cui noi diamo appunto credito alle nostre opinioni, non possiamo far altro che cercare in qualche modo di convincere o di forzare l'altro ad assecondare le nostre opinioni, cioè essere più come vorremmo noi.
But if we reflect on our mind and our experience, then we can and we can see how much energy we spend blaming this other person, and in a way we can recognize that the situation is, say just as an example, is really very simple, because it's what we're confronted with, what we're meeting is, oh, he's not the way that I would like him to be, therefore I'm suffering. I would like him to think like me, and if he did, then I'd be happy. That's my presumption, or that's my belief. So, in such a situation like that, it can be very simple. Yeah, we burn a lot of energy criticizing others, but actually.
Quindi, applicando la saggezza, ci rendiamo conto che sprechiamo una grande quantità di energia biasimando l'altra persona, e fondamentalmente in una situazione che vedendola con più chiarezza appare molto semplice, cioè la causa della sofferenza è che noi vorremmo che quella persona fosse come diciamo noi, però non lo è, e quindi la incolpiamo per questo, quindi siamo noi che soffriamo perché vorremmo che le cose fossero altrimenti.
So when we realize that we're asking the impossible, then we see that we are creating difficulty in the situation ourselves. So, for example, many years ago, when the monastery for Western monks first began in Thailand, Ajahn Sumedho, who's taught here in Italy a number of times, was the first abbot. And one of the other senior monks was someone that he had a continuing conflict with, and he was always doing things that were slightly out of tune, or he would always want to go his own way. He would be very critical of Ajahn Sumedho, and this person was a real pain, as we say in English, a pain in the neck.
E dunque a volte ci rendiamo conto che vogliamo l'impossibile. Come ad esempio anni addietro, quando in Thailandia si era stabilito il primo monastero per occidentali, di cui Ajahn Sumedho era il responsabile, vi era in questo gruppo di monaci, in questo monastero, un monaco in particolare che creava molti problemi, era diciamo un seccatore, faceva sempre qualche cosa un po' a modo suo, diverso dagli altri, era molto critico verso Ajahn Sumedho, e quindi Ajahn Sumedho era in conflitto con questo monaco.
At that time Ajahn Sumedho had been studying astrology a little bit. He was born under the sign of Leo, no big surprise. In fact, you'd probably be surprised if he wasn't a Leo. And this other monk that he was always in conflict with was born under the sign of Cancer, the crab.
E all'epoca Ajahn Sumedho si interessava un pochino di astrologia. Allora lui è nato sotto il segno del leone, non ci si sorprende, e l'altro, il monaco con cui aveva problemi, era nato sotto il segno del cancro.
One day in his meditation, this very clear image, like what they call a nimitta, came into his mind, and there was this large lion, and it was looming over this crab in front of it, and you know, the crabs have their eyes on the stalks, and the crab was looking up into the face of the lion with his eyes on the stalks, and the lion was saying, why aren't you like a lion?
Un giorno Gensumedo nella sua meditazione ebbe una forte immagine visiva, ciò che viene chiamato nimitta, in cui vedeva un grosso leone che incombeva sopra un piccolo granchio, il quale granchio si rivoltava con le proprie antennine guardando un po' spaventato il leone, e il leone col dito, diciamo, puntato lo rimproverava dicendo: perché non sei come un leone?
And then the crab just said, because I'm a crab.
E il granchio rispondeva: ma perché sono un granchio?
So this was a very this led to a very helpful breakthrough in the relationship, because he a positive breakthrough, because he was realized that he wanted this other monk to think like he did. He wanted him to have the same kind of attitudes that he did, and that he was judging this other person because they didn't see the world in the same way. But in this that moment he realized, well, why should he? Yeah, who's the fool? You know, the lion that thinks the crab should be like a lion, or the crab that knows it's a crab and knows that the lion is different. And so that when we when we look at our experience and we reflect on that, then that same kind of understanding of what it is that we are bringing to a conflict or a difficult situation, when there is that seeing, then we're able to let things go, or we're able to act in ways that bring about a more harmonious situation.
E quindi questo fu un punto di svolta molto importante nel rapporto fra i due, in quanto Gensumedo si rendeva conto che lui stava cercando di imporre a questa persona così diversa da lui di pensarla come lui, di vedere il mondo coi suoi stessi occhi, e questo non era possibile. Per cui chi era lo sciocco? Il leone che voleva imporre al granchio di essere leone, o il granchio che sapeva di essere tale? Dunque, con questa riflessione noi possiamo accorgerci del contributo che noi diamo al conflitto. E quando ci rendiamo conto di questo, possiamo lasciare andare, oppure possiamo anche trovare dei modi alternativi di comportarci che portano più armonia.
Another friend of mine she's now a Dhamma teacher, but she used to be a lawyer on Wall Street, you know, like the big business lawyer in New York City. And I was teaching in New York, and she was talking to me about the effect that meditation had had on her life. And she was saying, it's amazing, it's so incredible. My life was just like one conflict after another. It was just everyone I met, all my work, everything. It was just push and shove and just powering through by willpower and intelligence and just force. And now, you know, 5 years after I started to meditate, everything is so easy. I get on with people so much better. My work life is so smooth. It's amazing. It's a miracle. Doesn't the Dharma produce magical events, magical qualities in our life? You know, sometimes I think that the devas are opening up all the doors and making the world sweet around me.
E un'amica del venerabile che era diventata insegnante di Dharma, ma era un avvocato in New York, e commentando sul grande cambiamento, la grande trasformazione avvenuta nella sua vita in seguito alla pratica del Dharma, diceva: prima la mia vita era tutta una lotta, un conflitto, uno scontro continuo con la gente, andavo avanti a forza con la forza di volontà, con l'astuzia, avevo sempre molti nemici. Da 5 anni che pratico il Dharma è tutto cambiato, ora vado molto più d'accordo con tutti, c'è molta più armonia, la vita sembra così dolce. quasi dice non è meraviglioso che il Dharma apra così tante porte, cambi la vita, sembra quasi che i Deva, questi angeli, diciamo, mi facilitino la vita.
I said to her, I don't think it's that miraculous, really. It's more like before you were practicing meditation and being mindful, it was like you would, you know, just go at your life like smashing through the walls and charging through the traffic and knocking aside, you know, everything that's in your way. So of course it's one collision after another. And now that you are being more mindful, when you see a wall, you aim for the doorway, rather than just going straight through the bricks.
E il commento suo è stato: beh, ma non è un miracolo quello che stai sperimentando. La realtà è che da quando tu pratichi l'attenzione, la consapevolezza, le cose sono cambiate. Prima tu era come se sfondassi le pareti per arrivare dove volevi arrivare, era quindi sempre uno scontro dietro l'altro. Adesso invece, con più consapevolezza, quando ti trovi di fronte a un muro, imbocchi la porta.
So when there's mindfulness and wisdom, then we start to notice, oh look, that's much more convenient and easy for everyone if I go for the door rather than breaking the wall down. Similarly, it's just like another example would be if you drink a lot of alcohol and your glasses are the wrong prescription, you know, maybe you're short-sighted and you have glasses for long distance vision, and then you get out on the road, your judgment is bad and you can't see properly, so of course you're going to have a lot of accidents. So then if you stop drinking alcohol and you get the right glasses, then miracle! You stop having so many accidents because you can see clearly and your faculties of judgment are not obscured.
Quindi, diciamo, nell'esempio di prima, con la consapevolezza e la saggezza ci si accorge delle alternative, cioè che si può imboccare la porta piuttosto che sfondare il muro, a beneficio proprio degli altri. Un altro esempio potrebbe essere se uno beve molto alcol e indossa degli occhiali sbagliati, quindi da miope, se invece è presbite e viceversa, e va in macchina e ha moltissimi incidenti, ma se mette gli occhiali giusti e smette di bere, naturalmente la sua guida è molto più sicura e farà meno incidenti. Quindi non è un miracolo che questo accada, ma c'ha il suo motivo.
Going back to the first part of what you were saying, the one very helpful way of establishing harmonious relationships, and I mean, I don't know exactly how you have worked out a more comfortable or good situation with your boss. But one of the things that does contribute to that, when we see what habits we have, in particular, one habit that we often have is that we continually create ourselves and we create other people. We tell stories to ourselves, I'm like this and I can do this and I can't do that and I'm this way and I don't like that and I do like this and this is what I'm like, this is what I want. And we create other people. You know, she's like this, she's good at this, she's bad at that, she always says that. And I really love the way she does this. So we don't realize how much we create an idea of ourselves, an idea of others, and then we relate to those ideas rather than relating to the reality of the situation.
E a volte non ci rendiamo conto che noi creiamo in continuazione un'idea di come siamo noi e di come è l'altra persona, e non facciamo altro che nella nostra mente raccontarci la storia di chi siamo noi, di ciò che ci piace, ciò che non ci piace, delle cose che sappiamo e non sappiamo fare, di cosa vorremmo e non vorremmo. Così pure rispetto all'altra persona ci raccontiamo in continuazione la storia di chi è, che cosa fa bene, cosa fa male, quali sono le virtù, i vizi, le caratteristiche e così via. E poi di fatto invece di rapportarci alla persona ci rapportiamo all'idea che abbiamo di quella persona.
So one of the best ways that we can use the meditation to make our life more harmonious and our everyday situations, is to recognize that habit of creating ourselves, creating others, and to train ourselves not to do that. So this is the classical version of cognitive therapy.
Quindi uno
Buddhist cognitive therapy.
Sorry?
Buddhist cognitive therapy.
Quindi un modo fruttuoso per impiegare la meditazione in modo da da migliorare le nostre relazioni con gli altri, renderle più armoniose, e osservare questa attività che noi abbiamo di creare continuamente noi stessi e creare continuamente l'altro, e riconoscendo questa abitudine possiamo lasciarla andare, cioè possiamo smettere di coltivare questa abitudine, una sorta di terapia cognitiva buddista.
Well, there are many answers with words. That's the problem. Oh, sorry. No. Well, part of the issue is that we use a word like awareness to refer to many different things. Like yesterday I was talking about the word mindfulness and how there is, like, you can say there's three different levels. So when we use a word like awareness, sometimes we use it just to mean the ordinary raw cognition of some thought or a perception, but it also, we can use that same word to refer to the enlightened wisdom of a Buddha, and the word awareness applies validly to that whole spectrum.
A volte noi usiamo termini come awareness o consapevolezza in italiano per intendere in realtà cose diverse. Ieri si parlava della presenza mentale in realtà, Sati Sampajanya o mindfulness in inglese, e a volte la usiamo il termine consapevolezza per indicare questo, a volte usiamo il termine consapevolezza per indicare la mera coscienza di un oggetto mentale, per esempio un pensiero, una percezione, e a volte usiamo lo stesso termine per indicare la saggezza illuminata di un Buddha.
So the Buddha used a number of different words to refer to that, the quality of pure wisdom, pure awareness. So there is the word vijja, which is the opposite of avijja. Avijja, ignorance. Vijja is knowing. And then there is panya, wisdom. Also jnana. And all of these words have slight different shades of meaning, but they're all in a way referring to the same quality. Now, when you ask the question, is awareness conditioned or unconditioned? The way that I like to frame it for myself is that in the understanding of Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha, so that if the Dhamma is the ultimate ultimate substance, the ultimate object, then the Buddha is the ultimate subject. But the Buddha also said that the Buddha arises from the Dhamma. So if you have if you say that the fundamental nature of the Dhamma, the unconditioned, you can say that awareness is the primary function of that ultimate reality. This is even just with a few words like that, the mind can say, yeah, but what does that mean? But just to not be surprised that it's difficult to express that, but if you think of it as awareness as an attribute, like the primary attribute of that ultimate reality, that's the best way that I find, or the most simple way that I find to express it, or to create something of a mental image.
Dunque, comincio dall'ultima parte, se ci riesco. Diciamo, si può creare, diciamo, si può dare come immagine il Buddha come il soggetto conoscitore ultimo, il Dhamma come la realtà assoluta, l'oggetto ultimo.
Conditioned Dhamma that is not satisfactory.
It's not really very easy to try to understand, to translate and try to have this in my head. Quindi, allora, se immaginiamo il Buddha come il soggetto assoluto, conoscitore, il Dhamma come la realtà assoluta, possiamo dire che So you are saying that awareness is like you use awareness like Buddha.
Yes, Buddha, yeah.
Quindi in questo caso potremmo dire la consapevolezza, il puro conoscere, è l'attributo fondamentale, la qualità primaria fondamentale della realtà assoluta. Rabbi dice naturalmente anche usare immagini di questo tipo crea dei problemi a livello mentale, perché è molto difficile cercare di immaginarlo. E il Buddha stesso utilizzava dei termini diversi per riferirsi alla qualità del puro conoscere o pura consapevolezza. Usava termini come vijja, che è l'opposto di avijja, cioè l'opposto dell'ignoranza di base, e usava termini come pagna, che a volte è tradotto saggezza, che è un modo, diciamo, di vedere la realtà in modo diverso. Usava anche termini come jnana o conoscere, quindi anche lui stesso utilizzava diversi modi per alludere a questa.
Now, if that fundamental wisdom was not transcendent, then liberation would be impossible. If that awareness was not transcendent, if it was not like locutora, it's like a supramundane, then liberation would be impossible.
Se quella consapevolezza non fosse trascendente, locuttara, cioè al di sopra del mondo condizionato, non sarebbe possibile la liberazione.
But because it is transcendent, it is completely beyond the realm of the conditioned, therefore liberation is possible. There's a very famous teaching that the Buddha gave. There is the unborn, the uncreated, the uncompounded, the unconditioned. If there was not that, then liberation would be impossible. But because there is the unborn, the uncreated, the unoriginated, the uncompounded, then liberation is possible. Now, the there are many texts, like in Abhidhamma and complex psychological analyses. And if you get into all of that and try to figure out exactly how it all works, you'll make more suffering. Guaranteed. like Letizia's misbehaving microphone. More suffering.
Dunque c'è un insegnamento del Buddha che dice appunto sull'incondizionato, se non vi fosse il non creato, il non composto, il non condizionato, non vi sarebbe la possibilità di uscire da ciò che è creato, composto, condizionato. E
yeah, if you try to figure it, that there are texts like the Abhidhamma and and they describe the ways that the sort of conditioned and the unconditioned are related to each other.
Ci sono anche dei testi come l'Abhidhamma, appunto, in cui si cerca di analizzare il rapporto fra condizionato e incondizionato. Tuttavia, dice, se si cerca di approfondire in quel senso, si è sicuri di procurarsi più sofferenza.
But it's really very simple. When our teacher Ajahn Chah met Ajahn Mun, who he took as his teacher, but he only ever stayed with him for about 3 days. And during that time, the most significant teaching that Ajahn Mun gave him was on exactly this issue. And what he said was that the mind and its objects are fundamentally separate from each other, and that all of the practice is to do with allowing the transcendent awareness and the objects to be separated out from each other, and that that even though it might seem like an undramatic statement. When Ajahn Chah heard that from Ajahn Mun, it was a whole transformation occurred in him, and that people asked him, "Well, why did you only stay with Ajahn Mun for 3 days?" And he said, "Well, once the light comes on, you don't really have to stay near the light switch, do you?" Well, or the Thai, Northeast Thai equivalent of that in those days.
Quindi c'è Ajahn Chah e ha incontrato il suo maestro Ajahn Mun brevemente, ma un insegnamento fondamentale che Ajahn Mun gli diede fu quello della, diciamo, la possibilità di contemplare che la mente, il conoscere, è diverso e separato dall'oggetto mentale o dal contenuto della mente. E questo può sembrare estremamente semplice, ma fu un
When the light comes on, you don't have to stay near the light switch if the room is already filled with light. Yeah. Well, but people asked him why didn't he stay with Ajahn Mun, and he said that it was that. So another way that Ajahn Chah used to describe this, which is, he'd say it's like oil and water. If you have oil and water, Italy is a very good country to explain this. If you have oil and vinegar, shall we say, in a bottle together, when you shake it all up, then it seems to be one liquid. This is like our mind in a state of confusion, our ordinary life, the mind influenced by avijja. We think, I see, I feel, I think, I like, I don't like. The quality of awareness is mushed in together with the objects. But when we put the bottle down, and then the liquids, then we leave it alone, the liquids separate out, the oil and the water, or the oil and the vinegar, they naturally separate out from each other. You don't have to do anything. Because their natures are different, that they separate out, And he said, this is what the practice of the Dhamma is about, is letting the awareness and the objects separate out from each other. Then there is knowing of a thought or a memory or a feeling or a sensation, but there's no confusion that this is who and what we are, or that this is a solid, substantial reality. I used to keep a little bottle on my shrine with oil and water together to remind me of that. But maybe the most useful way to get to the end of your doubts is to just take that very central theme and to reflect on that. That if awareness was not, if pure awareness was not transcendent, if it was not unconditioned, then liberation would be impossible. Just take that sentence and then bring that up in your meditation, explore it, and see what arises. And I suspect that will help you to be free of doubt. You could, do you want to translate that into Italian? I would use the word transcendent in a different way. So that it's it's more to do with, say, the a whole different level of being, so that you can say that the adult, in your language, you say the adult supersedes the child, or the oak tree supersedes the acorn. But when I use the word transcendence, it's like it's more like saying the actuality of the microphone transcends the idea of a microphone. It's like a whole order of reality, more than just being in the same level and a bigger extension, or say having a drawing of a glass and a three-dimensional glass. You can't put water into a drawing. Well, you can try, but it'll fall on the but you can put the 3D water will go into a 3D glass, so that the I would say that I'm using the word transcendence more in that way of being of a whole different quality.
In questo senso, diverso dall'esempio, per esempio, della bianda e della quercia.
Well, is an extension from
E quindi è diverso questo tipo di rapporto, è diverso da quello, per esempio, della pianta e della quercia, in cui la quercia, in un certo senso, è un'estensione, oppure l'adulto, diciamo, è un'estensione di uno sviluppo dell'animo. In questo caso la trascendenza implica uno scarto di livello.
Well, I'm conscious that maybe there might be another time for one more question on a different theme before we finish. Yeah. Well, it's not a matter of right or wrong. These different aspects of the meditation have their different results. So, some people have more of an inclination, a disposition towards concentration of the mind. Other people have more of a disposition towards wisdom or reflection. So these two types are called, these two types of style of practice are called liberation through the mind training, or cheto vimuti, and then liberation through wisdom, panya vimuti. So the method that I was describing was mostly to do with the panya vimuti, or the development of wisdom. So that the vipassana is mostly using that kind of style of the development of wisdom, and so that is quite a direct method. But if one doesn't have a disposition that you can utilize that. It's like if your legs don't work, then a staircase is not a very good way to get from down here to to the other building. You need the elevator. So even though it might be useful for some people, for other people, it's not useful. And so much better to go the long way, long way round, or to use an elevator. So if you have more of a disposition that leads to concentration more easily, then and that if you try to develop the vipassana practice, then the mind just gets lost and drifts, and you see no good result coming from that, then it's perfectly okay just to develop the more of the concentration. Because if that is also developed to its fulfillment, then it will lead to liberation, but it just is like a slightly different track. The main thing that we can use, or the most convenient thing that we can use to measure whether our efforts at practicing Dhamma are effective or not, is are we creating suffering or not? So if, well, both, same. I just said the one. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, so that, so that's the thing we can always use to measure our efforts by. And when we think, is this working? Is this the right thing? We can see, well, is this creating more suffering or not? Is this helping to reduce suffering or not? So we use the presence and the absence of dukkha as like you'd have a sort of a meter, like a voltmeter or a kind of light meter. You're detecting, okay, are we on the right track? Your GPS locator, it's the dukkha meter. GPS. And sometimes we're not sure. Just like, we have a doubt. Well, am I going in the right direction or not? And so it's quite okay to have a don't know category, what I call the mystery shelf. So if we're not sure, then it's good to just keep exploring, keep going with an open mind. Say, I'm not certain if this is having a good effect or not. Let's keep going and see what happens. So then you're investigating and putting forth your effort, and then you're learning from the result. You're not just following a formula because the book said this or the teacher said that, but you're actually finding your own way. So it's important that we use our own direct experience to measure things by, because if we trust the authority, then we can easily get lost. A few months ago, in our monastery, which is about 40 kilometers in from the seashore, and we're up in the mountains, and one of the monks was walking down the road through the forest. And there was a car with a family in it came by, way off the road, you know, in the middle of our forest. And they stopped and said, "Are we near the beach?" Abhayagiri Monastery. So our monastery is 40 kilometers inland from the west coast. They were driving eastwards up the mountain, and they thought they were on their way to the beach because the GPS said, the GPS machine said, "You are now approaching the beach in the town of Mendocino." So they believed the machine, but they didn't realize their... So we encourage them to switch off the GPS and go westwards. Like in the Star Wars movie, when they tell him to Luke Skywalker, switch off the machine and don't think, use the Force. Okay, that's enough for today, I think. Thank you very much, Leticia. So we can...